sword in his hand, and he's riding a white horse across this land. He has fire in his eyes, and the sword in his hand, he's riding a white horse all across this land. He's calling out to you and me. You ride with me. He has fire in his eyes and a sword in his hand, and he's riding a white horse across this land.
Well, greetings everybody. Pastor Buddy joining you live tonight right here around the world on WWRB 3.185 Clear Channel, the transmitting jewel of the South right here. Got a great message for you tonight. We're going to get right in it and tell you that people who have made vows, these are the things that are very important to you. The promises that are delivered. You see, Yahweh vowed to you. You make a vow to Him. Yahweh swore to you. You swear to Him. You live by His covenants, and He will abide with you and back up every word that you say or everything that you do. He will not leave you. He'll never forsake you. We just feel so good in our spirit. You know why? Because Yahweh has moved for us. He's given us a feast site. Literally, He's basically given it to us. We're so thankful by generous people that have vowed, made oaths, and promises. And now, it's time to deliver. We need your help tonight. You know, I made an appeal for someone to help us, and lo and behold, last week, we received a $1,000 offering in the mail. I made a vow this week, and we received a promise, an oath, and a vow that they were sending $1,000. We had one of our sponsors. That's one of our sponsors that made that vow, by the way. The other sponsor, Dr. G, who's sponsored me for a long time, has promised to help me. And you know, we're poor and needy. We preach for the gospel. We don't preach. We don't earn a wage from the world or from the system. We hope that you do and you're able to help us. We're going to encourage you tonight to try to help us. We need more help. We're $87,000 shy of what we need. We basically went on faith. And we've got to deliver by the 14th of next month. We're just laying our heart out to you and telling you what we got to do. And what we need, you know, the Bible says, ask and you shall receive, seek and you shall find, and knock and it shall be. So we need $87,000 to close out on the 14th. Now it's going to be right at a full moon in October. This is a harvest moon that we're going to begin to watch for the harvest. You know what, ladies and gentlemen? I'm telling you, Yahweh is a real good giver. You can't outgive Him. Now let me tell you why, and this is how it works. You know the Babylonian system of the Land of Oz, we call it here in America, they have got a system of basically creating money out of thin air. Well, you know, they must have stole this recipe from Yahweh. Yahweh promised a blessing through faith. By faith, and it's impossible now to please Him without this faith. We're going to talk about the rewards of the faith. We're going to talk about the rewards of the oath, the rewards of the vows, and the rewards of the promises that you make toward the Creator in needs. You see, Yahweh doesn't need you to send Him anything. He wants you to make a covenant oath and a promise, and then He can invoke that materialistic blessing. See, He said, try me and see if I won't open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing. Now, we're serious about this tonight. We promise you a blessing if you will bless us. And here's the difference between your blessing and our blessing. We have been authorized to say through the Word that if you give us a offering, regardless, so let's say you send a dollar. Yahweh is bound to send you $3 and press that down and run it over. That's His promise. Now, He does that out of thin air, by faith. You see, if a man's ways please Him and you haven't robbed him, then He hasn't created a hole for your bank. Let's say somebody's poor. You know, a lot of people say, well, I can't give because I haven't got anything. Well, have you got $5? You say, well, yeah, of course. You see, a lot of people's embarrassed to send a little. But if you've got a little and you send a little out of that, then Yahweh can multiply that threefold, press it down and run it over and return it to you in some way. Now, if you'll watch for that, it will return to you. Yahweh loves a cheerful giver, and we bless you tonight in the name of Yahweh. I'm going to teach you and preach to you a message that will faith fill you, I hope. And when you're experiencing financial deficiency, I want you to always know that there's something for you that would bless you if you can give out of your need. Now, what I said is to give out of your need. Now, your need is your last dollar. Let's say that you, well, Pastor Buddy, I'm going to send you 10 cents. And I get that 10 cents. And although it's just 10 cents, now, 10 of those adds up to a dollar. Well, if Yahweh's promised to bless you threefold, press it down and running over, it's untelling what that 10 cents can multiply. Now, I know you've got faith for 10 cents. We're not asking for a whole lot. We just ask that you would bless us where Yahweh can bless you. Now, if we have, let's say that we had tonight 1 million people give us 10 cents. Do you realize how much we have just gotten in the mail? Now, it would take longer to open the envelopes. And it would take certainly a long time to count the coins. But you see what I'm talking about? A little can add to much. Now, if you experience these financial deficiencies, it's because you have never learned the art of giving. Better to give than to receive. Yahweh said for us to give at least 10% of our earnings to the gospel. Now, I have preached to you for years and years and years on the radio. I've never taken one dime to compromise, to weaken it. I know I could. I lose 99% of my office on or audience and offerings by teaching the scriptures that I teach. So I'm not trying to compromise with you to get your money. I don't want you to send me money expecting to receive anything. I want you to send money expecting to receive something from Yahweh. A threefold blessing, pressed down and running over. That's what He said He would do. Ahab, under Ahab, the wicked king, and Jezebel, you know who she is, under their leadership, Israel had rejected Yahweh and had chosen Baal and was actually worshiping Baal. He only had 7,000 in Israel. And Elijah, not to worship, to bow the knee. The prophet Elijah announced to King Ahab of Judah that there would be no rain until he brought word again, and at the beginning of what became a 3.5-year drought. Think about this. Elijah was instructed to go by Yahweh to the city of Zephrihah, where a widow dwelled, and enter into her dwelling and live with her. Now, I can just hear the local gossip. You know that guy that calls himself Elijah? He's over at that old poor widow woman's, and he's taking advantage of her. And you probably don't know what else he's doing. Who knows? He's probably just over there for the sexual gratification. All kinds of things will jump in the devil's repertoire, and he'll invite you to believe it. You can believe a lie and be damned. Now, with this in mind, Elijah, obeyed, and when he entered the city, he saw this woman gathering sticks. Now, it was appropriate that he appear at the very time that she was in a financial deficiency. I'm telling you, she was bad off. There's probably no one tonight that's listening, I hope not, that is in as bad a shape as this widow woman who had a dependent, and she was gathering sticks, and he called her and asked her for a drink of water. Now, when she went to get the water, here's what he said. Now, remember now, I don't know how much water she had. There's a drought. Now think about this. He asked for two of the greatest things that she hated to depart with. One was water. Water was scarce, and he's the cause of it. Here he's out begging for water from a widow woman, of all things, who has a dependent. And if insult is not added to the injury of the woman's faith. Now, see, she was willing to give him a drink of water, but do you realize where she had to probably go to find that water? And she couldn't have had much water in the drought. All the streams had dried up. There was no food. Israel was in a famine and a drought. And this is the man that spoke it. Now, whether she knew that or not, doesn't matter, because, see, she didn't walk by sight. We are going to find out this beautiful woman, widowed long, probably, for this very reason, that she would be very destitute in a time of deficiency, and it just added insult to injury for this man to add when he asked for the water. Now, listen to what he asked for. And if you would mind, would you please bring me a morsel of bread in your hand. In your hand. In your hand. Would you please bring me a morsel of bread? Now, number one, he had to know she had it. Number two, he had to know that she didn't have a lot of it. And number three, he had a reason for asking, because he was asking for seed of her faith. In deficiency, here's a woman without anything. You may be in a case or a place tonight. Well, Pastor Buddy, I'd like to send you all something to help. We listen to you regularly. We know you're a man of Yahweh. We know you don't compromise. We know you don't back down for filthy lucre. If you was for preaching for money, you no doubt you'd change your message. I preach both sides, and I know which one is more financially lucrative. Bring me a morsel of bread. And then, listen to what she said. She told Elijah that she did not have any bread. But only, now listen, I ain't got no bread, but I only have a handful of flour and a little oil. And she said to him, I plan to take the sticks that I'm gathering here, build a fire, and to make the last meal for my son and for myself, and then die. Man, what a deficient faith she'd fought down to. Now here, the man of Yahweh, in a terrible drought, she was on her last meal, her last morsel of bread. She's fixing to prepare one whole cake for herself and one for her son, and then she was going to die. She knew that it was over. This is how destitute and how desperate. And yet, can you see a little spark of faith and honesty and integrity? Here's what Elijah said. She showed him, not knowing who he was. He's the man that brought the drought. Remember that. The drought, she said, has caused a severe famine in the land. Being totally honest with Elijah. And Elijah, listen to the response. He did the most rudest, unappreciated. I mean, if you'd have been there and you'd had any strength left after 3.5 years of a drought, you'd have probably took a broomstick and beat his head in. But here's what he said. This prophet. Now, I'm asking you in your lowest state and drought and financial condition to help me. I make an urgent appeal. I need $87,000 in less than a month. Can you help me? Some have vowed and kept it. Some have vowed and broke it. Some have made a promise and kept it. Some have made a promise and broke it. Now I want to ask you tonight, in making vows and hardships on yourself, listen to what Elijah said when she said, after he asked for the bread and the water, two of the most scarcest items in the land, and she reveals that she only has to give one whole cake for herself. Now, I've eaten in my lifetime, I've eaten hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of hoe cakes. I love them. If you can give me a cornbread hoe cake and stir it up and put it, we call them hoe cakes down here, and put that cow's butter on it, get you a glass of buttermilk, preferably goat milk, and man, you, that hoe cake is gone. I can eat them faster than Thelma can put them in a pan and fry them. I love them. Here Elijah said, do not fear. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I cannot fear, although we took the largest financial step that I've ever taken in faith. I can't say that I haven't feared or caused stressful situations in my life. This woman was afraid. She had already planned her own funeral. We're going to eat this last hoe cake, me and my son, and I'm going to die. Here's what he said. Go and do as you have said. Now, don't go do like I've said. Go do as you have said. Now, listen here. Go make the hoe cakes, like you've said. But now listen to what he asked for. This is the most amazing thing. Make me a small cake from the first. In other words, the first hoe cake. Now, it had to be a first offering of her. Now, you know who that first hoe cake would have been for. That would have been for her son, not her. And no doubt she would have fixed him an extra large hoe cake that she could have died in peace. She knew he was going to be the last. But she wanted her son to die with at least a satisfied belly. But he said, make me, from the first hoe cake, a small cake, and bring it to me with a glass of water. Then afterward, I mean, make mine first. Now, how rude. Here's the faith of a prophet. Here's the prophet that understands the art of giving. I hope it can transfer to you. If you got an old tractor sitting around that you really don't need, and you could donate that old tractor. We need a tractor with a bush hog. That's something to mow down and keep your farm clean. This is not going to be a farm. It's a feed site, just to keep it clean. We need someone that's got an old... We don't care what it is. We've got mechanics that are... I mean, we got... I know we've got several mechanics that are expert in building engines and vehicles. They can rebuild it. A tractor is something... The old ones are particularly good and strong and stout. They got good cast iron blocks. And if a block is in good, you know, we can get a piston, maybe throw the piston or something, and drag on the parking lot at the King's Gate Inn. We need it. Now, we'd like to have a brand new International Harvester or a brand new John Deere. We'll take that. We'd like to have about an 80-horse John or a 75-horse International Harvester, whatever. We'd like to have that. But we'll take... If it's got tires on it, it's reasonably good shape, but it's got a blown engine or whatever, we got men that can fix it and repair it. We take that. If somebody give us two or three of them, we may take one and build one. And so, we're talking about a little... Now, do not fear, first of all, to give. It's one of the greatest missed opportunities because of greed, because of the lack of integrity. I mean, Nabob, he wouldn't give David air to have him if he had him in a jug. He wouldn't open a cap every once in a while and give him a breath of air. But his beautiful wife, Abigail, and boy, did she ever fill the bill. I mean, she loaded the ass, and she had cakes and raisins and dried plums, and she baked sweet bread with honey. And the Ezekiel bread, no doubt, recipe. And she loaded those mules, and old Nabob, he'd been celebrating, and he was drunk, and he was passed out. And so she got her servants and loaded these supplies and these victuals, and she headed for David. And she met David and his army. The death angels was riding with David. He had purposed it in his heart after that he had been refused to help David in his need and in his distress. David was going to kill him and all of his servants. That would have included probably Abigail. But here is a faithful woman that got up and left her drunken husband in the bed, and she headed toward David's camp. And lo and behold, she met him on the way to kill the people that dwelled on her farm. And she lighted off her donkey and said, David, O king, live forever. And she bowed herself before him. She refreshed him. She washed his feet. And she anointed him. And she gave the victuals, the bread and the cakes and the wine and the honeys and the things that David had requested. She delivered them. Now, how is she going to explain this to her husband? No doubt he was a vicious, hard-handed man who was selfish and self-centered, resented David, hated him and despised him. His politics, he didn't go along with him. He didn't want nothing to do with David being the king of Israel. Matter of fact, he was against him, tooth and toenail. Someone has to have an enriched faith to overcome even those that they live with when they're in unbelief. This is a courage of a woman. I mean, she delivered. And David said, you know what, sister? You are an amazing woman. Here I am on my way to kill your husband and all of his servants and everything that breathed on that little ranch. No doubt he was a very industrious, high society man. I mean, he just got through throwing a party, and Dave was up there hungry. When you see your brother in need and you shut up the bowels of compassion, send me a dime in an envelope. Tell me that that's your last dollar and you tie the 10%. Do you know what Jacob vowed? He vowed to pay, as long as he was up on the earth, out of his sum of blessings, he vowed to give 10% back to Yahweh and to his prophets. Elijah said, make me a small whole cake first and bring it to me. Then afterward, notice this, make me a small one. And you know the woman bent with a generous heart. Let me show you what she done. She could not divide that little flour or meal that she had and the oil that she had to make it with. And that's how you make cornbread. I can make cornbread. I can't boil water without scorching, but I can make cornbread. I'm a southern boy. I love cornbread. I love good hot butter, like I told you. But a whole cake is something special. My mom used to make them for us in snack and an evening meal before we go to bed. A buttered whole cake and maybe a big glass of buttermilk and an onion. Man, that really hit the spot. Well, she didn't have those luxuries, but she instead of dividing those whole cake material that she had to make two little whole cakes, she made two whole cakes. She made one for her son. She made one that it was intended to be hers. She didn't make three. She didn't make a little one. She divided the other whole cake, and she gave it to this man. Now, guess who did without? She gave all she had. Some gave all, and some gave some. She gave all. Abigail brought, she didn't bring all, but she brought some. She was blessed. Her life was spared. Her husband's life was spared. Her servants. Those servants that came with her on a fake venture, knowing that they'd probably get fired if their boss, Nabal, if he found out about that they'd made this journey. So they were very loyal to her, Abigail, in trying to help her to appease David to avert the killing of disobedience and disrespect. Sometime you may save your life. You may be in line for a tumor or a cancer or a heart attack. And just the thought of giving, you taking it upon your heart to give something in return to help us. We need your help. We are a faith-based group of Yahweh's people. Our thesis is only open. It's restricted. You'd have to pass the examining of the elders just to get in if you are not known to us. That's not out of disrespect. That's out of respect to laws of Yahweh. We don't lay hands suddenly on no man. And we examine through intense interrogation. And you can believe our elders know the Bible. They don't do it out of disrespect. They do it out of respect to Yahweh to keep His laws, not to lay hands suddenly on no man, and to make the election of those elite that are worthy to come and join us. And the way we teach and the way we preach, we worship on an old-fashioned altar. We're going to have one of the most awesome altars in the United States of America. And for that matter, we may have the most awesome altar in the world built just for you. It'll be there when you come to our festivals or this festival coming up. It will be built, Yahweh willing, and we obtained the land. Now we're $87,000 short. Matter of fact, we're only 85 because I've received 1,000, that is in the been attuned, and we have been promised 1,000 in less than 60 days. And if you could make a vow, if you could help us, it may not be $1,000 that you could send us. It may be less. It may be only 10 cents. But if you give 10 cents out of a dollar, and other people give 1,000 out of, say, like 10,000, and they've got 9,000 left, and they spare that to send tithing to help us. You don't know how much $1,000 helps to pay the closing costs, because we do have closing costs and things of this nature are going to run over $87,000. But we're reaching out and we're appealing to you. We need your help. Our sponsors is helping us. They're helping us by reaching way down. Our tithers, the tithing money that people have given me, and I've got a few $1,000 saved up. Not a lot. I'm a poor man. I haven't made any money in over 25 years for myself. I've not made one dime. Everything I've made and everything that's come to me has come to me on faith, through people that are faith-based, helping me to preach this gospel. Our radio program is very expensive. Every month the bills are due. We got to keep Brother Dave powering up the generators and the transmitters and things of this nature to stay on the air. We pay cash to our radio station, and we want to keep paying so that he can keep supplying the power and the transmitters and giving his time to see that the gospel is preached. And this is what it's all about. It was a selfish, unreasonable request that Elijah the prophet, who had invoked the drought by his word, and then come and begged, basically. The woman probably thought he was a beggar. She didn't know he was a giver. You know what Elijah had give her? He gave her the most wonderful opportunity to express her faith through giving. Matter of fact, she gave everything that she had. She gave her whole cake. And did you know that guy, I doubt they had any butter to put on it, because the cattle had died. The fields was parched. No grass. They probably didn't eat their beef, and they ate everything. We know that they were in a sore shape because they had basically eaten everything. But remember that Yahweh told Elijah that he would find a widow woman in the city who would sustain him before he ever got. Elijah wasn't asking for her last hoe cake, as it might seem. I mean, she told him, well, I've only got two hoe cakes left. He said, well, would you fix me one out of the first one? Make it the first one. Make a small one, but make it the first one. Well, she gave him her portion, and then she made her son one, and there she brought the water, probably her last drop of water, and the bin of flour that she went in and scraped never ran dry. A miracle of majestic proportion. That's a majestic favor. Nor shall your jar of oil run dry. Boy, you talk about the more she ate, and the more food she fixed, it was always refilling until the day Yahweh sends rain upon the earth. Number one, Elijah knew that the rain would come. Number two, he knew that Yahweh would sustain the widow woman as he promised him. And so he walked down there. Now think about the faith it would take. And here she gave him a terrible situation. And when I talk to people, they give me terrible situations. Well, I don't have it. We did this and we've done that. And we're sorry and wish we could help more. You see, ladies and gentlemen, She could have told Elijah, "You've got the nerve. Here you are, a grown man taking bread out of the mouth of my son." She could have walked away and ignored him. But even in her dire straits, she made the call to believe the words of the man of Yahweh. She said, "I'm going to trust you." Elijah didn't have anything. He was hungry. He had invoked this upon himself, and you live with a sword and you die by it. The just shall live by faith. Say it with me. The just shall live by faith. But she decided, she made that decision right there on faith merits. While she's fixing it, her hand trembling, I know she is hungry. She had put this off, and she knew it was her last morsel of meal, her last cruse of oil. This was the life. No doubt she let it drop and drain for the longest time to get enough oil to make the two hoe cakes. She got her done. She brought the man of Yahweh. The first offering. And you know that rascal? I can just see him sitting there and oil probably running down the corners of his chin. He probably hadn't eaten a long time. I don't know how long it had been. But the brook that he was laying by, it dried up. He didn't have no water. He didn't have no bread. And here he is begging for the widow woman's bread. Can you see that sometimes preachers seem unreasonable when they demand something from you? But Yahweh's listening, and He's looking in the offerings for you in your desperate hour. He always asks for it when you have nothing to give. You know, I've never thought it necessary to save for the future. I don't have anything. I'm honest. You never see me complaining. I have never complained to nobody. When I go on Yahweh's faith. He's always supplied my needs. I try to go as first class as I can. I wash my face and I anoint my face with oil. I do the best I can with what little I got. But I sow in faith and I go in hope. I don't want to look out for myself or my family except that I first trust Yahweh. I know that if I trust Yahweh, all things, say it with me, all things work together to the good to them that love and are called according to His purpose. Ladies and gentlemen, we've got the most wonderfulest opportunity to be responsible for our promises that we've made and to be honest and have integrity. It's not a double standard. How do you feel when someone makes you a promise to you that doesn't keep their word or makes excuses to get out of it? Now, how do you feel about that when somebody do you that way? If a vow is not faithfully honored, then how can the person ever be trusted? You're no better than your word. If keeping one's word is really important and Yahweh will hold people accountable for what they promise, and He will, how can people believe a person who doesn't keep their promised word or their vows that they make? What does Yahweh think when people make up excuses in order to get out of keeping their word? Or to give when it hurt? The widow woman is a prime example. Abigail is a prime example. Look what she done. Did you know just that simple act turned her in from a plain woman to a princess of royalty or a queen of royalty? She became the wife of David. He chose her. Faithful Abigail. It's amazing how Yahweh, see in her plight, she was ready to be executed. David and his men was fixing to kill everything that breathed and pissed against the wall down there with Naboth. sounds more like he's going to kill the males. But I guarantee you he didn't kill this lady. Oh, he said, woman, what faith. You know I was coming down there to kill everybody. But here you've met me, taking a chance on your own life, going against the wishes of your husband. Sometimes, ladies, you may have to go against the wishes of your husband for the good when they don't have the integrity or knowledge for the bad they're fixing to create for the family. You see what I mean? Yahweh spoke the word into existence and He promised to save us from our sins by sending His Redeemer into the world. He kept His word. He delivered. And now we walk by faith that we're saved through grace and not of ourselves. It is the gift. Yahweh gave His best. Does He hear a word? Does He hear when promises are made? Does He know when you make a vow? Is He going to hold you accountable? Better not to make a vow than to make it and break it. We're not saying that you vow to us, but please make one. We encourage you to, like the widow woman, like Abigail, please make us a promise. Say, Pastor Buddy, write me a letter. Call me tonight. Say, Pastor Buddy, we're going to vow a couple of bags of corn. We're going to have it shipped down to you, UPS, whatever you can send me. Corn, wheat, oil, victuals, we'll take it. We'll store it. It'll help sustain our little community of Ephesite fellowship. I'll be there all the time. I will be teaching special services more than I am. I haven't taught any special services in 25 years. I've taught mainly on the radio and basically three times a year to our faithful gathering. You are invited to come. You're invited to participate. We'll treat you as good as we know how. We'll share the whole cake with you. I'm telling you, we had some people literally the last festival. They ran out of food. The ladies ran out of food. We had more people there than we ever accounted for. And we ran out of food, and some of them stood by and fed those hungry people and didn't have anything to eat themselves. They went to bed hungry that night because they would rather give than receive. And these were the cooks and the people that served who always eat last. They basically eat what's left. At this time, there wasn't nothing left. They didn't grumble. They didn't complain. They didn't murmur. They kept their promise and their vow to love Yahweh with all their heart, soul, and mind and strength. It wouldn't hurt them to do without a meal. It wouldn't hurt a lot of us. Let me tell you something in 27, Leviticus chapter 27, verse 9 and 10. And I learned this 30 or 40 years ago studying the book of Leviticus. It's a great book. It's a book of how to live and how to share and how to present yourself to Yahweh, a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable, which is a reasonable service. He says, if you give me a vow or a pledge or an offering, and if it be a beast that you're going to vow, and you bring an offering unto me, all that any man giveth of such unto Yahweh shall be holy. Now listen to me. There's nothing that you have that is not presented to Yahweh. See, the food that you have, that's why He wants you to thank Him for it. A lot of people sit down at the table, they break their bed and they go to eating, and this is as rude as it can be. They even forget to thank the man that put it on their table. The man that got out and worked and figured out how to grow it. You see, Yahweh's put a lot of effort in learning to supply you. That's why He told Elijah, you go to the widow woman, she will sustain you. I mean, he was hungry. He was destitute. He didn't have nothing to eat. You go to the widow woman that didn't have nothing. But see, when she gave a holy offering for a holy cause, and it wasn't altered. Notice this now. And Yahweh said, do not alter it. Do not take from it. Do not change it. Do not do a good for a bad or a bad for a good. When you give your word to Yahweh or someone else, you are also giving it unto Yahweh. Yahweh teaches us in the Bible that we must not go back on our promises, even if we have to pay a higher price to keep them. Our promises are taken seriously by Yahweh. We must be accountable to each other and to Yahweh first. Changing our minds is not acceptable. Withdrawing or holding back part of the price. You got a tractor? Send it to Pastor Buddy. We need it. Now, we ain't got no way to come and get it. We expect you to get it to us. We're asking you to help us. If we can and we work out the logistics. I had a brother that called me from Wisconsin. He's a beautiful brother. Man, he's a giver. He's a faver. I just love to talk to him. He's never down. He don't have a lot, but man, does he ever come out with some goodness. He said, Pastor Buddy, could you use an old-fashioned cook stove? I said, well, what are you talking about, brother? He said, you know, one like I used to make in the 30s. You know, got the old water tank on it and the old warmers and the old side pockets that they filled up with water and you know, kept water hot. I said, oh, my heavens. Yeah, I ain't seen one in them years. I said, my mom used to have one in our old Civil War house back in the 40s when I was growing up. He said, well, that's what it is. Would you like to have one? It's in good shape. Oh, heavens, yeah. But I can't come and get it. I said, it's Wisconsin. I've never been in Wisconsin. What's up above Chicago? I ain't never been in Chicago. We got one of the brothers that lives in Chicago. And he tell me about all the, I mean, there's millions of people there. Man, I'd be as lost up there in Chicago going through there. I wouldn't know which road to take. As a matter of fact, one of the brothers that agreed with this brother in logistics, trying to go and to pick it up and meet him, of all places, at the Mackinac Bridge upon the Saginaw Bay Bridge. And he's showing me on the map how to get there. Man, the crooks and the turns and names of cities and little mountains and little lakes and stuff I've never heard of in my life. Never been there. Couldn't envision how to get there. I'm dumb as a slop buggy when it comes to that. But they're working out the logistics, and we're going to get an old-fashioned cook stove, and we'll take it. Praise Yahweh. And that brother will be rewarded three times over, pressed down, and running over. He just don't know what he done. He made our day by giving us an old-fashioned cook stove. I mean, if the heat goes off and the electricity goes off and the propane, and we're out of that. Well, we can just go up in the woods and cut down a tree and split the wood and start cooking the old-fashioned way. And we got one of the best biscuit makers in the state of North Carolina. And basically the state of Tennessee. I ain't seen nobody could come up with that. Man, she can bake biscuits. Man, they just melt in your mouth. I could eat a whole pan full myself if I wasn't so embarrassed to show myself so glutty. You know what I mean? Which is a sin, but I'd give you that last biscuit. If she had baked only one biscuit, and it was for me, and somebody came in hungry, I'd share it, or I'd give it. Listen to this now. These things I write unto you, Timothy, you got to be aware that the keepers of the flock have high standards of morals and examples because they answer directly to Yahweh for the gathering or the group. I'm responsible for you. Your blood's on my hands. I've got to deal responsible. And although it seems hard when I give answers sometimes, I don't compromise. And I understand that people would have to draw the line and not associate with me. And they withdraw themselves for the name's sake. I understand that, and that happens to me all the time. I'm an old warrior. It bothers me and breaks my heart to see people walk away. Had you known, these things I write unto you, hoping to come unto you shortly. But if I tarry, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of Yahweh, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of truth. It's a serious matter. Yahweh holds us all accountable. Feed the flock. Keep your promise. A man shall not break his word. And the Bible of Numbers chapter 30 verse 2. Listen to me, I've got to close. My time has come. If a man vow a vow unto Yahweh, or swear an oath to bind his soul with a bond, he shall not break his word. He shall do all according to that proceedeth out of his mouth. By your words you're justified, and by your words you're condemned. A person's word is just the same as a written legal contract in the eyes of Yahweh. Just like you've got a contract up there and it's binding. We're trying to prepare for October the 14th, where we're required to lay $87,000 that we don't have. I'm serious. We don't have it. But we are making a vow. This is how we're walking by faith. We're in a drought. It's the most How is it that Yahweh would choose this time to put in our heart? Because we've been praying for this for years in good times and bad. Remember what he said. Don't alter it in good or bad. We're demanding $87,000 from somebody that's got integrity and keeping their love and their vows and have a heart of compassion. Maybe you'll never get to come to our festival, but you are part because you've sent us a love offering. I'll accept it. Tell me your situation. And if you just want to help us and you're too old or you can't get here for some logistic reason and you just want to send it, get out a check, make it out to Pastor Buddy. Say, Pastor Buddy, this is for your fellowship. I may never get to Sweetwater, Tennessee, but I'm going to drink the cup of victory on faith. I'm going to give and remember you in your time of need. Yahweh bless you. Yahweh keep you. And Yahweh give you the joy of the kingdom. Ladies and gentlemen, I'll see you tomorrow night around the world on WWRB 3.185 Clear Channel. Can you help us tonight? I pray in the name of Yahweh. There's a lot of people pray for me tonight. Hold up my hands for the day that will arrive for me. I hope and trust that this altar is built and dedicated. I hope and trust that we have enough money to build. We after the $87,000, we need another $75,000 to $100,000 for an assembly building. Right now we're living in a tent. Help us. Ride with us. Come in and out. Area code 423-626-2172. You can write me at Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, the zip 37824. Could you tuck me in a love offering tonight? Write me a little note of encouragement. I need your help. I'm appealing to you. And may Yahweh bless you. And may Yahweh keep you in the day of trouble, in the famine, and in the drought, in the lean time. May He bless you and fill your cup with joy and secure you where you can lift up your hands and say, I've never seen the righteous forsaken or a seed of begging bread. May Yahweh bless you. Tomorrow night, 11 o'clock, around the world on WWRB 3.185. That's 11 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. It's the late hour. It'll be 10 Central. I'll see you then. Part 2 of vows and covenants and oaths. Yahweh bless you.
fire in his eyes. Is his love for his bride. And he's longing that she be with him, right by his side. Yes, that fire in his eyes is a burning desire that his bride be with him, right by his side. Can you hear him calling out to us right now, saying we're right with thee? Lord, I know what I want my answer to be when you say, will you ride with me? Don't want anything down here holding on to me when you say, will you ride with me? Can you see that number no man can number? Riding alongside Jesus. But he's calling out to us right now, saying, will you ride with me?